Would you please stand out of respect for God's word? We're going to read his word together. Acts chapter 1, if you don't have a Bible, we have it on the overhead. We're going to read starting Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4 to 11. Acts 1, 4 through 11. Please stand out of respect for God's word, and we will read these verses together. I will read the first verse, you will read the next verse, and we will go back and forth. Acts 1, starting in verse 4, read along with me. I'll do 4 and then you do 5. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift of the promised, as I have told you before." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Let's pray. And I ask today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray at this moment, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, I am glad to be with you this morning. I got to say that last night was pretty awesome. A shout out again to Chris. Would you put your hands together for Chris Frank? I think we had over 60 people here getting a chance to have corn on a grill, and it doesn't get any better than that. So we do, as Janice says, we have tons of extra uncooked farm corn out there, and I would encourage you on your way out to grab some. You may be able to have it for lunch today. So we have to get rid of it. It'll go rotten, so please take it, Mosaic. Can you get in and give me an amen for that? So we are beginning a new series today. We finished up last week, if you've been out and about. My name is Mick. I'm the pastor here. We are just over a year launched into our building, and God's doing great things. Amen? Amen. We just finished a series on fear, as I said, and now we're going to begin a series over the next several weeks that I believe is one of the most important talks we could give. Now, my wife's sitting out there, she'll laugh, because every time I'm about ready to give a talk, I always say, it's the most important talk you've ever heard. But I got to be honest, I always believe that when I'm in the moment speaking, that is actually the most important thing you have heard in that moment. So I, without a doubt, believe this teaching on the Holy Spirit is really, really critical for all of us. And as we look at this, the reason why I believe this is really, really important topic is that we can get you all fired up, get you all excited about God, get you motivated to do his mission. But if we don't teach you what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, your ability to live the life that you were supposed to live is always going to be a struggle. Your ability to stay victorious will be impossible. Your ability to stay on mission will basically always go to the right or to the left. He is the one that we must understand that God sent into our lives to give us the ability to do everything he's told us to do. How do I know that to be true? The Bible even tells us. We can look at the Apostle Paul, and in Romans chapter 7, what do we see there is that the Apostle Paul himself said, every single time in Romans 7, I want to do good, I end up doing bad. Here's a guy who loved God with all his heart, and he made that declaration. I want to do good, and every time I try to do good, I end up doing bad. Has anybody ever experienced that? Am I the only one? Yeah, I mean, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Shame on you, right? We know that we cannot buy this at Walmart. We can't be motivated enough to do it. It's basically impossible to live what Jesus told us to live by ourselves. You and I cannot do it by ourselves. Now, the problem is, as we begin to look at this teaching, is that there's so many, when I say Holy Spirit, Many of you, your antennas go up and you all have your preconceived ideas of what you've been taught about the Holy Spirit. Some of it probably good, maybe some of it not so good. It's my role as your pastor is to give you a biblical definition of what this is. Can I get an amen? Now, what I want to say to you as we look at this is that we've had teachings on two extremes. We have this teaching that the Holy Spirit is a force. He is not a force, my friends. We're not talking about Star Wars. He is the third person of a triune God. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If that boggles your mind, you join the crowd. The fact that God is three in one is one of the most complex theological things that you and I have ever embraced, but it's the truth that is truly in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. Would you look at somebody and say, the Holy Spirit is a person? Now, what we have done with this person, the Holy Spirit, is one of two extremes. We have one extreme historically where they are all about the Holy Spirit, and yet they have somehow taught that if you and I sing loud enough, if we pray hard enough, if we get more intense, if we just do one more song, Holly, if we get really, really motivated and energetic, somehow the Holy Spirit will then come down and do what he needs to do in our lives. Now, that's a very dangerous thing. Why is that dangerous? If, in fact, your only desire is to have an experience, you will miss the entire thing. Now we've got the father of lies who is always ruthless coming after you and I, and he loves religion to sneak into your life. And if, in fact, you want an experience, he can give you an experience all in the name of religion. Now you're really messed up. Does this make sense to anybody? I'm not, now let me flip the coin. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit, if he falls and he does what he needs to do, that it cannot be emotional. I'm not saying that it could be in an amazingly moment where you sense and you experience and people are crying or shouting or running. I'm not saying that that's not true. What I am saying is that when his Spirit decides to do whatever it is he wants to do, everybody who is connected with him, even though it may not be your personality, you will in your spirit know this is of God. It's not maybe the way I am personally made, but the Holy Spirit is here doing a unique work, and who am I to tell the Holy Spirit what to do? You following me? So on one side, we got this over-emotionalism. Unfortunately, in the vast part of the United States, we got the other side of the coin where we have made our churches, especially white churches, cookie cutters. And our programs and our services are so identical, you could actually go through the entire service with all your songs, your preaching, your prayer, and if the Holy Spirit was there or not, you wouldn't know any difference because we have somehow modeled some other church that's a mega church, wrote a book on it, and now we think that that's the way we're supposed to do church, and we grieve the Holy Spirit as a result. Can somebody say amen? It is our desire as a church. We won't do it perfectly, but it is my desire as your pastor that we would hear what he's saying to do, and we will respond to what he's saying to do, and we will have the courage to be the people. Now, here's what I know to be true. Here's what's happened in the United States. If you're a new person that's trying to follow and trying to find Jesus, here's what the church has done a disservice to you, is that we have put the Holy Spirit in a box because we don't want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we're afraid we'll scare you off. So we're going to make it all nice and neat so that new believers can come in and kind of feel really laid back, have their coffee, kind of maybe slide their way in slowly into Jesus. We've done you a disservice because the Bible tells us this. If the Holy Spirit comes in any way he desires to come, whether you're a believer or not, you will know. Even if you don't know it, you're like, there's something real there. I need more of that. Does this make sense to anybody? So we need to try to get this thing, understand what he's saying here. Now, this passage that I read to you in Acts chapter 1 that we read together, we've got two things going on here. Verse 5, we have these guys who followed Jesus for 3.5 years. He's now died and he's rose again. He's now ascending to the Father's right-hand side. Up to this point, what do we see? We see men who love Jesus, right? But men who cannot do it themselves. They have not had the Holy Spirit in their lives. So no matter how hard they tried, no matter how motivated, what did Peter say? I'll cut off an ear. He did. I'll die for you, but he didn't. And when Jesus went to the cross, they all scattered and they were all scared and fear and with fear because they didn't have the ability to live. So they lacked courage. They lacked wisdom to know how to make the decisions in their lives. They lacked focus. They were all over the place. And most importantly, they lacked power. I don't know about you, but when I look at these disciples up to this point in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, I see the exact same things today in the United States of America. I see a church today that lacks courage. I see a church today that lacks wisdom in making decisions, and I see a church lacking focus and lacking power. Why would God give us power when we aren't worthy of the trust of the power, because we want power more than anything else rather than Him? He says in verse 8, I'm going to make this right with you guys. The Holy Spirit is coming. We've been talking about this. You didn't understand this, but the Holy Spirit is now, He is now coming, and He's going to be with you. And when He comes, you're going to know it. And the reason why you're going to know it, verse 8, you're going to have power. You're going to have power. Now, we're afraid of that word because people abuse power. But the power is not just so that you can somehow do crazy things and be more powerful than others. He says clearly in that context, the purpose of the power is for what? So that you can be my witness. That's what the scripture says. You will have the courage to live all this out so that people will be drawn to me because of the life you live. You won't be perfect, but I'll give you the power needed to be the men and women that I've always intended for you to be. Can I get an amen? So he's telling us, this is, and when you receive this power, you're going to have the courage, and you're not just going to do it in your family, sorry. You're not just going to do it with your friends, sorry. You're going to do it all over the world. All over the world, you're going to do this, and we know that they actually did that. Do we not? How do we know that they actually heeded this command after they received the Holy Spirit? The way we know it is that you and I would not be sitting here today. The gospel went to all the world. This place wasn't even known. You and I from all different ethnic groups are now worshiping together because of the fulfillment of this scripture right here. It's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? Right here and right now, we see the fulfillment of that. We also see that in scripture, he tells us in Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit, when you say, yes, I want Jesus, you know what he does? He immediately comes into your life. And Ephesians 1 says, He is the seal. He is the guarantor. He's the one that guarantees you did not have indigestion that night. You didn't just eat pizza that night. You didn't just get emotional that night. That the Holy Spirit is going to make that a seal, and that seal is going to validate the decision that you made, regardless of what you feel the next day, is true. Now, when I lived overseas, and my wife worked in the Islamic world, and we ran a humanitarian company, because of corruption, every single document that we had to come across my desk, and I had a seal. And that seal, once I put my signature and a seal on that, that made that document authentic, and everything could happen. The transactions economically, all of the approvals, all of the issues with our employees. But if it didn't have the seal, it didn't matter whether it had the logo of the company. It didn't matter whether it had my signature. What mattered was, what validated it was the seal that made all the work to go into action. And that's exactly what Ephesians 1 is saying to you and I. The Holy Spirit, He is that seal in your life that this is the real deal in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, as we look at this, I want to, over the next several weeks, I want to look at this issue of His role in our life. Many, many roles He plays. So if you allow me to preach/teach, I think it's so critically important. Because I really like to preach and I like to motivate you. But if I don't give you something that you can hold on to, it doesn't matter how excited you get. You simply won't have the ability to live the life that you know that you desire to live. And this teaching is critical for us to understand, okay? So if you have your notes, you're welcome to pull them out. Here's a few of the roles today that I want us to see. The first role of the Holy Spirit is simply this. He reveals spiritual truth. Would you say this prayer with me? Say, Holy Spirit, reveal truth. Look at somebody and say, let the Holy Spirit reveal truth. Put all of us here today, regardless of when we said yes to Jesus, we were blind. We were literally blind, and the role of the Holy Spirit is to literally make us be able to see and understand, to reveal to us. Now, I know that what that experience was physically, because when I was 33 years old, I went and had eye surgery, and I had LASIK. And in that few moments, when they took the front of my eyes off, I was completely blind. It was pretty fearful in that moment to think, I cannot see a thing. Although it was a short period, I was completely, absolutely blind. Until they put the front of my eyes back on, was I able to see again. I'm here to tell you today that what we know from Scripture is that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to reveal truth to you and I. He is the one that does the work. You can't manipulate it. You can't force it. You can't make it happen. He's the one that reveals it in all of our lives. Okay? Now, I've shared the gospel with many, many, many people. And what I know to be true is this, is that it's the Holy Spirit that will work in that individual's life. Has anybody ever shared Christ with somebody? And when you shared Christ with them, it was like talking to a brick wall, like it did not penetrate at all. Has anybody had this experience? That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's got to bring that revelation. What do we know from Scripture is simply this. Scripture tells us that from the very beginning, Romans chapter 1, he's been revealing himself to all mankind, has he not? He's like, walk out the door, I'm paraphrasing, and look at the sky, and look at the stars, and look at the beautiful planet in which you have. This did not just all of a sudden, one day, blah, 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 and became into, and kind of evolved into being. It was created by a creator. I revealed it through my creation, right? And now it's my desire is to reveal truth to you through this, his word. I'm going to, it's not going to be some kind of a, sometimes people think Christianity is this kind of, I can't do Christianity because it's all kooky and emotional and park your brain stuff, and that you got to have some spiritual experience where God does something that is kind of crazy and you hear God speak through an audible voice. And although all those things may happen, they're not the norm, my friends. What we know from the Holy Spirit's role is he uses this in our lives to speak to us for the vast majority of the time. He's given this to us, and if we ignore this, we miss the entire thing. Scripture's very, very clear. You need to understand that. 2 Timothy 3 says, Scripture can make you wise for salvation. Verse 16 in 2 Timothy 3 says, it is what? It is God-breathed. God-breathed. The Holy Spirit, then, it says he comes down. This is the only book, my wife will verify, you tell them this is the truth or not, Melanie. I do not like reading a book a second time. I do not like going to a movie the second time. Is that not true, yes or no? It is true, but there's a difference with this. This is Holy Spirit revealed, that it is illumined by God, that I can come back over and over and over again. And because I'm in situation on situation that is different in my life, and even though I have read it this many times in my life, I can come back in this moment and the Holy Spirit will reveal that same truth, not new truth. Beware of people who say God has given them new truth. I'm here to tell you today that is that's false prophecy, false teaching, and heretical. There is no new truth. It's already been revealed right here. Can I get an amen? And he reveals it and he illuminates it over and over in our lives and uses it for our lives every single day. It is God breathed. And Psalm 119 says, I have hidden your word where? Where have I hidden it? In my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. So I challenge you today. Let's actually practice Psalm 119. What would happen if you and I actually, it's never too late. Some of you be like, well, I'm just going to rely on the preacher. Well, you're in trouble if you're relying on me. I assure you right now. It's never too late to start to get to know this. Allow it to be the beginning of the rest of your life to know this. Hide it in your word. Hide this word in your heart that you may not sin against him. I have memorized scripture for years. Why? Number one, the reason why I memorize it is that the Holy Spirit will reveal it, right? And I can pray scripture. I can pray scripture when I need to do that. Number two is that I can give wisdom out when it's needed, that it's not my words. Three, then it gives me wisdom for my life. Four, then it gives the Spirit reveals and it gives me the truth I need when I'm tempted. What did Jesus say when he was tempted by Satan? Where is that in the Bible? Doggone, if I could remember that verse, Curtis, then I could stand against the enemy. Come on now. If I could know where it is, what did Jesus say? He didn't say, where is it? He said, it is written. Three different times. He didn't go in his own. He said, it is written. So I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit reveals, and what we like, unfortunately, in our day and age, we know we're here, whatever here is for you. This is your situation. This is who you are. You're not satisfied where you are. Does this make sense? You know where you want to be, and that is right here. And you even can see it, and you're learning. You say, this is, I want to be like Jesus, and I want to be here. The problem with a lot of us is that we want to kind of do the microwave Christianity. Put me in for 30 seconds, go to church in 30 minutes, and bum-ba-da-ba, da-da, and it doesn't work that way. That was not in my notes whatsoever, but I thought that was really good. It does not work that way. It is day in, day out, allowing truth to transform your life. What does he tell us to do over and over again? Renew your mind. How often, friends? Daily. And if you and I choose not, I don't care if you've been a follower of Jesus for 35, 40, 50 years, you can easily be a straightaway, and the Holy Spirit is waiting to reveal this truth in our lives so that we can be who we're supposed to be. He reveals making a difference. Now, let me say this. It is really critical that in the last days, you know that you know the truth. Let me give you an example. The world was supposed to end yesterday, then they changed it, and it was supposed to end today. And they gave you all the reasons why the world was supposed to end. Okay? And when we know truth, people are going to come, and they are going to be incredible in communicators, way better than me. They're going to woo you, and they're going to wow you with their charisma, with their ability to articulate. They may even, according to Scripture, be able to do pseudo-miracles, false miracles. And if you look at somebody that sounds so proficient, so charismatic, can be able to do certain kinds of miracles, and you don't know the truth, and you haven't allowed the Spirit to reveal it, you will be led astray. God, let us choose today who we're going to be on and what's going to be our anchor. Can somebody say amen? I just want you guys to know, it doesn't matter to me where you are in your journey. I don't care whether you're struggling, whether you've sinned, whether you messed up. What I believe at the foot of the cross is we're all equal. Amen? And the other thing I would say to you is that we are going to teach you and we are going to come alongside you as adults. I'm not going to try to give you just baby food. I'm going to give you the truth so that then you can decide for yourself, is this something that I want for myself or not? Then you will be without excuse. Then I, who am going to give an account for being a teacher, will have no excuse. And then together we can all say yes and watch Jesus move. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit's role in our lives is simply that we can be people that will be revealed in truth. Let me give you the second point, and that is this. Not only does he reveal, but the Holy Spirit is redeeming us. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Say, redeem us, Holy Spirit.
Redeem us, Holy Spirit.
Say it again. Redeem us, Holy Spirit.
Redeem us, Holy Spirit.
This is the most powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. When I say redeem, it means he's starting to transform us. And he transforms us day by day by day, step by step by step. This is what we know to be true. Now, the Holy Spirit in redeeming us, what does he do? His role is to keep you and I from being distracted. Anybody have a problem being distracted? Yeah? Anybody professional regarding to getting off to the next thing and staying off the main thing? Am I the only one? Yeah? The Holy Spirit's role is to keep us. His role is simply this. To keep the spotlight on Jesus.
Amen.
The role of the Holy Spirit is to keep the spotlight on Jesus. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus' role in this triune God, Jesus' role in this triune God was this. He was under submission to the Father, and that was powerful, but he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see how this beautiful relationship worked? He was under the submission. He chose that. He submitted himself under the authority of the Father, but he was empowered while he was here by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that from Scripture over and over again. And the Holy Spirit's role is to have a spotlight on us. The second thing we know is that he's also the production manager. He's the production manager in that many churches leave him out altogether. I got it. Thanks, Cece. Thanks, buddy. And as we look at this, what we need to know is that today in our churches, we have done all the planning. We've got all the pieces together. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit moving, it will be empty. Do you know we have a temptation at Mosaic? We can have everything nice and organized. We're growing steadily, and we have new people upon new people. But if we do not, do you know what I pray for every single Sunday morning? I get in here really, really early before you all are awake. And as I pray over this place, that God's anointing and his Spirit would be here. And it doesn't matter what you've experienced, how low you are, how frustrated you are, how hopeless you are, that you would be able to walk out of this place somehow being lifted up. I can't do that. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit, right? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, if you don't believe me that Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is go through Scripture. His birth was conceived by whom? The Holy Spirit came down, and he came upon Mary, and she was virgin, and she became pregnant. And as a result, because had Jesus, his whole ministry was through the Holy Spirit. It says he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. The role between Jesus and Holy Spirit when he was here was immense, and he continued to redeem through things. His prayer life was full of the Holy Spirit. His teaching, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord, right? This is Jesus. His healing was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even his death, it was God who raised him up. Even his resurrection, he was raised by the Spirit. So Jesus, all that we're talking about, that the Holy Spirit redeems, we see it with Jesus. Now the question is, let's make it to you and I. Are we seeing the same thing in you and I's life? If we're going to be born, what does John 3 say? You cannot be born of flesh and water, but you must be born of what? The Spirit. The Spirit is the one. No man comes to the Father except through whom? The Spirit of God. So we, just like Jesus, we need the Spirit of God to do what he's going to do inside of us. What about your ministry? You want to reach out and be his witness like he says in Acts 1? You and I won't have what it takes. We will not have the effect. We will not see the result. Only, because Corinthians says, when the Spirit of power is upon us, that we will see God. Now, here's what I want to say to you. I don't want to just read about the Spirit of God's power. Although I'm thrilled what God's doing in Country X, I'm thrilled what he's doing in Brazil, I'm thrilled what he's doing in South Korea, and I celebrate all that, and in parts of Africa, but I don't want to just read about it. I want to experience that ministry power here and today. Can somebody say amen? We've got to have that kind of expectation to know the Spirit of God is about redeeming us. And we need to know, he also tells us, is that he also, just as with Jesus, he gives us the Spirit of God to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Have you ever come to the point where you're like, I do not know how to pray? Has anybody ever done that? Anybody? I do not know what to pray. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, and the Spirit of God intercedes for us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, intercedes for you and I with groans that words cannot express. That's when we step back and allow the Spirit of God to do what he needs. Stop putting him in a box saying this is the way it's going to be. Stop reading your prayers, but allow the Spirit of God to flow through you, and you can pray heaven on earth as it is in heaven, things said. Amen? He will give us the ability to have victory over death itself. Death, oh, where is your sting? The sin and all of it is broken by the Spirit of God. Even we are resurrected. The old life is down and we're resurrected with Jesus. All through the Spirit of God. This is what he's given us today. So he redeems your mind today. He renews my mind today. We can actually know the difference between right and wrong. The only problem is if you keep choosing wrong, all of a sudden you can't hear him anymore. You go down that road, you have the ability to choose. All of a sudden that sound and that conviction and the redemption of the Holy Spirit will become distant from you. He redeems not only our minds, he redeems our hearts. Everything about our hearts. How you feel about your things. The things you're passionate about. What are you passionate about? The more you get in love with Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit starts to redeem you, all of a sudden your passions change what was so important to you. Let me illustrate it this way. Before I was a believer, sports was everything in my life. I did sports, everything. Eat it, breathe it, dreamed it. Everything was sports. And all of a sudden, I came to know Christ as a teenager. And in those few years after that, although I still like sports today, I actually am not even engaged as what I was. My passions have changed. I remember going out for the baseball team in university, and I would have surely made the team, but you to ask me 5 years prior, playing university baseball in college, that would have been a dream of all dreams. Second baseman, Mickey Veach, I was like in my glory, my hat and all. Had my Cubs hat, glory, thinking that was the next step. Chicago Cubs, here I come. I was on my glory. But as I was growing and my passions and my heart was changing, all of a sudden I'm playing ball, and all of a sudden university is so intense, all I do is go to class, study group, and play ball. And all of a sudden, that wasn't as appealing to me anymore, because I knew that I wanted to do ministry. I wanted to actually serve with people. I wanted to engage, and I had to make a choice. And actually, the choice wasn't even hard. I went to the coach. Thankfully, he was a follower of Jesus. And I said, man, I gotta quit, because I don't know that I'm that great. That doesn't matter to you. But nonetheless, my passions have changed. My question is, if we did testimony time right here today, you would have testimony upon testimony of the power of God that I once was passionate about. He can change it. You want to get the defense of the gospel, to really know that the gospel is true? The most incredible thing is a life that has changed. When I look at that life and say, man, that's what you were, and this is what you are, I know, I can't, there's no way that could happen. But he's the one that does that in my life. Do you believe that to be true or not? The Holy Spirit is the Redeemer. And although the enemy is ruthless, he comes after us nonstop. He's kind of like gives you a bombshell by giving you a sexy photo where all of a sudden you're doing good and doom, you're over there. You need the Holy Spirit to redeem you and pull you back. He booby traps your tongue so that you say things that you know you shouldn't have said about somebody. And the Holy Spirit is there to redeem you and pull it back. And then you got family members getting in the way of your stuff when you got it all figured out. And the Holy Spirit brings you back and says, when did it become all about you? And step by step by step, I'm here to tell you today, he is the Redeemer that is in the business of making all the difference in the world. And he wants to change our mind. He wants to change our hearts. But he also wants you and I have the ability, here's a key one, you ready? To change our will. Some of you here today do not believe you can say no to sin. You do not believe you can say no to sin. That is a lie from the pit of hell. To think that you have to continually be in a cycle, wrapped with your arms tied around you, is simply not true. If you have encountered the God of the universe, the Holy Spirit that said he came when you said yes, you have that power, the accessible ability to stand your ground regardless of the obstacles. And once that becomes here to here, your life in Jesus then begins. Can I get an amen? You and I need to understand, this is what he's saying. I have the ability to make my choices. I have a new. Do you believe today that you're a new creation or not? Are you going back and forth? If you're back and forth, you're a miserable person. If you're one day at church saying hallelujah and 5 minutes out there, you're out there doing your thing, miserable. You were never intended to be miserable. You were intended and created to be a new creation, that you are redeemed and set apart. And once you and I believe that, that's when the journey begins. And it does not matter what your sin is or what your sin is not. It doesn't matter whether your sin is addiction or your sin is gossip. It doesn't matter whether your sin is being desiring for money or whether your issue is a relationship where you have envy and you have pride for somebody else. It is all the same under the authority of the cross. And he's saying to you and I today, friends, wake up, new creation. The Spirit of God is free. He's for you, and he wants you to have it today. Can somebody say amen? So the Holy Spirit is the one who is the revealer. And he's what I love about his revelation, I'm jumping back to point one. That's a scary thing for a preacher. And he is always chasing us. And you and I start going in our sin, and we get all over here. And you know what he does? He keeps running right there with you. Never leaves you. I don't care how fast you think you are in your sin, you will never, ever, ever be able to outrun the long arm of the Lord. Can I get an amen? He is saying to us today, it is time that you and I understand these truths for us today. And I look at the church today, and I got people that will like go to Chicago Cubs game, I'm sorry, Detroit Tigers game, and they'll be all excited about that. And yet they come into the church and they live their lives in such a way that you would think that they had already had death warmed all over. They had death warmed over. And I'm here to tell you today that if we're ever going to have the power to be the witness, it's not about being perfect, but it's about your life knowing that what do we know about King David in the Old Testament? Was he perfect? Yes or no? No. But what do we know about King David in the Old Testament? His heart was after what? His heart was after God. May everybody actually, my dream and my passion for Mosaic is that we're so real as a church that people will be able to walk in here and they'll know that the cross is big enough for their stuff. If you allow me to say this, it just came to my mind, Holly, but when I first met you, I said, so why'd you come here? You said, I think that this church can't handle my stuff. Something like that we were talking about. We need to have a church that says we can handle all the stuff because the cross is able to handle everybody's stuff, amen? And that we actually begin to understand that he's chasing after us and he's revealing, and not only that, he's redeeming us. Let me give you the last point today, and your third point there in your notes is this. The Holy Spirit also indwells us. This is really, really important. He indwells us. Would you say this prayer? Say, Holy Spirit, fill us. One more time. Holy Spirit, fill us. Here's what you need to know. This is an incredibly important truth. We do not serve a God, Andre, who comes to you in 1 minute and goes off. Drake, he's not here and then off busy with something else. Beverly, he's not involved with all this stuff that somehow I'll get to you when I get to you. You need to know over here, he doesn't, Ron. He doesn't take a number and say, I'll get to you when I get to you. Well, if he doesn't come to you when he gets you into his appointment book. He is the God that is there for every moment of every situation of your life. When you're at the highest of the mountain and when you're in the lowest of the valley, he is there. He indwells us. That is incredibly important. That's the uniqueness of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not a God that created this planet and he's off creating another planet and he's no longer involved in our lives. He is involved in every moment of your life. He indwells in that moment, and what a difference that makes for us. He's indwelling. Now, here's the crazy thing about the teaching is that we start looking at this thing called indwelling, and the whole mystery is somehow God actually living inside my physical body. That's a mystery that I don't know that I can totally articulate for you today, but here's what I know, the gist of it. It's not so much about whether God is physically living in my body. Your whole concept of living in, throughout the New Testament, he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. We are in him, and he is in us. We abide in the vine. We say many times, I am in love. This whole thing about in is actually more about intimacy. It's more about relationship. And we know that he's already Emmanuel, God with us. So don't get so caught up as like, is he actually living physically in my body when somebody talks about dwelling in? No, to look more about, it's the intimacy of God that I am so in love with him that he is with me wherever I go. And he is there to do whatever I need at the name of Jesus. And I don't have to get his attention by jumping up and down and shouting. I just have to say, Jesus, and there you are. That's a really, really important thing for us to know today. He is the Emmanuel and the way. Here, mark this words. I don't have very many wise things, but here's a wise statement that I thought about. You have to surrender power in order to get more power. Think about that. You have to surrender power. That's worth writing down, by the way. You have to surrender power in order to get more power. What am I trying to say by that? I have to surrender. To be filled, he says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled. That literally, he's already with you. That is surrendering your life to him. You do that every single day. You surrender, and the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit at that moment, begins to do the things he needs to do in our lives. Here's the biggest point here, and this third point is that we've got many believers in Jesus who are not being filled or surrendering daily, and the Spirit is walking around you, giving you the freedom, and we make mistake upon mistake, and we grieve the Holy Spirit in our own sin, and the entire time he's like wanting to shape us and mold us and protect us. And it's not just for the elite few. God doesn't show favoritism. And he goes, okay, Marina, you get an extra blessing. And Cyril, you're not going to get so much. And Jeff, you're going to get some. But Quentin, not you. And Ivy, we're going to give you an extra dose. God doesn't work that way. He does not show favoritism. And if you and I engage him, he not only reveals and he not only redeems, but he indwells us and he's with us. He says in Scripture, I will never leave you as orphans and widows. You will never be alone. I am with you to the very end of the age. Nothing, not even death itself, will separate us. We will be together for the very end. So what we need to realize is I need to surrender every day. And even though I know that for 30 some years, I got to confess to you, I still struggle with it. Anybody else? I think I'm doing good. Let me make it clear to you. You never, absolutely never coast with God. You are either moving forward or you slowly are moving backwards. Sometimes you can move so slowly moving backwards, you don't even know what's happening. And why does he make it that way? Because he wants a relationship. He wants you dependent upon him. Why doesn't God just deliver me completely, hallelujah, and make it done with? He can do that. But why most of the time doesn't he do it? Because he wants you and I dependent not only this moment, but the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. He wants a relationship. Complete dependence. That's where fulfillment comes. Why are Christians walking around as though they can half beat up? Because you're not, you're walking around with your hands tied behind your back. It's time to take your power, knowing that God has given it to you to be victorious, and knowing he is there, and he's always ready to destroy the enemy coming your way. And when we know this happens, he gives us assurance. Assurance that I belong to him. I can stand before you, Romans 8 says, I am no longer, by the Spirit of God, I am freed from the spirit of fear. But I am now, because of the Spirit of God, I am in the family of God, and I can call him Abba, Daddy. I'm reassured of that. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have daddy issues. It's a big deal for me. Anybody else have daddy issues? Doesn't matter your age. He says the Spirit of God can help you with that. May take a lifetime, but he's the one that's doing it, not me. I surrender that. He gives me the assurance. He teaches me and guides me in life decisions. Anybody have some big decisions they got to make in your life? I'm here to tell you that in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says the Holy Spirit spoke to us. I like that. The Holy Spirit spoke to us and told us, Paul and Barnabas, to go. The Holy Spirit spoke. The issue is not whether he's speaking. The question is, are we listening? When he's indwelling, he's speaking to us continually. And here's how do I know it's God? Well, the first thing I'll tell you is that it'll align with this. If anything you're seeing or thinking you're hearing doesn't align with God's word, it is not of God. The second way is you need to get it affirmed through those that you respect, your leaders, and have, I use it in my life, the elders and the people in my life. I said, is this of God or not? I have people in my life that I'm accountable to. Do you? You need it in your life. He lifts me up when I fall when I'm indwelling him, and he's indwelling me. Anybody need picked up when you fall down? Am I the only one that needs picked up? Need picked up when you fall down. I'm not looking to fall, but when I do, I have one who is intimate. He's there to pick me up, wipe off the dirt, say, let's move on with this thing, right? I seek his forgiveness. I had one guy, was the president of the university I went to school at, Taylor University. His name is Jay Kessler. I've said this before. He said, Mick, you scare me. I said, why, sir? He said, you have lots of passion and you have no wisdom. I said, thank you, sir. And he said, secondly, you live on these high idealisms. You think you can change the world, and you need to be careful because you're going to get knocked off your horse. And you know what I said? I said, Mr. President, I want you to know one thing. I may not be very old, and I may be not all that wise, but I'm going to ride that horse with everything I've got, and I'm going to believe that God can do the impossible. And if I get knocked off that horse, I will get back on that horse, but I'm not going to set back. It's not what is that I look at. It's what can be that allows me to get up every morning. Not what is as it relates to society, but what society can be. Not what the church is, but what the church can be. I don't want to hear all your crap about your stuff about the church, that, and the rest. That's your issue. You need to get over it. It's not saying that the church is right or the church is wrong, but can the church actually be what the church needs to be? Now, what about your life? It's not about where you are. It's about where you can be as a follower of Jesus, right? Somebody in my life looked at me when I was 16 years old on a volleyball court and saw me, and he believed in me. He said it once, he said it twice, he said it a thousand times. 1,000 times, I believe in you and you can change the world. It was the 1,000th time he said it that I actually started to believe that my life could count. Some of you need that. And I'm here to tell you, we're to do it as a church, but through the Spirit of God, he's saying to us, you need to know that you can get up when you fall down. I serve a God of second, third, fifth, and 10 chances. Can somebody say amen? He also indwells us and gives us the ability to live our lives holy. And we're going to look at that in the weeks to come. We actually have the ability to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Does that sound like good things for people? Gentleness, self-control. Anybody need these things? He is the one that is the grantor of these things for us. And they're for all of us. And you don't have to go work for them. They're yours. They're a free gift. They're yours today. You and I just need to grab them and allow them to be in our lives. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, is personal. That's the whole point of him dwelling in us. He is a personal God, and he is involved in every thought and every desire that I have. Can I get an amen? Now, so today we know in conclusion that the Holy Spirit, one of the three rules is that he will reveal. He's going to come after you, and he's going to keep revealing. You have to say yes. Secondly, is he's continue redeeming us. He's transforming us. And thirdly, he indwells us. He's so intimate with us. He, at the mention of the name, there he is. The Holy Spirit is there. And he's going to continue to lift up the name of Jesus, okay? So what do I do with this? Number one, you and I need to ask for a new hunger to know him and that we would allow him to reveal these things in our lives. Do you have the courage to allow the Holy Spirit to take his flashlight and to reveal to you? It doesn't always feel good. God's discipline isn't fun, but only one who loves us will discipline us. Will you allow him to redeem every area of your life today? Not just 90%, but all of it. And will you ask him to indwell you, that you will surrender your life to him? That's simply what I'm calling you to today. That's what the disciples did in Acts chapter 1. They changed the world with all of their imperfections. Hey, Mosaic, I got a plan. What do you say? Let's change the world. We have more than 12. The same God then is the same God today. He can do it, can we not? So ask God to start with me. Allow it to become less about you and more about him. More about him. May we actually echo the prayer of John the Baptist. May I become less that he becomes more. Anybody else have that passion? All right, I want you to bow your heads with me. As the worship team comes on up, let me pray with you. Lord Jesus, if I have said something that's not of you, I pray those words would go away. But if I have said something that's of you, I pray you would not allow us to get away from it and that you would speak because your servants have been listening and you would truly help us to understand this true principle. I pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to help us and that you would continue to help us to be the people you want us to be today. So hear our prayer right now. Speak to each and every individual right now in Jesus' name. And would you continue to show yourself to each and every individual. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just take a moment. Allow the Spirit of God to speak. What's he saying to you? What I love about him is that I could preach one thing and he could tell you something totally different, not related to what I just said. He's that amazing. God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate that my brothers and sisters would catch this. Left to ourselves, it is impossible. And it's not by my might or by my power, but by your Spirit. So would you please hear our prayer today? Do something fresh and new in our lives. Start right here with me. I surrender. Fill me. Look up this way. Is there anybody here today that God is speaking to? You know that he is. And you would just stand before your peers as a testimony. You don't need to tell us specifically what it is. By standing, you're standing right now knowing that you're saying yes to the Spirit's speaking in your life. Lord Jesus, you see those that are standing and those that are not. And I pray that you'd meet them right where they are. You would powerfully give them exactly what they need. And that relationship would grow and grow and grow. I'm trusting you for that right now. This decision would go deep. And I'm trusting you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Here's how we're going to close today. We're going to come to the table, what we call communion. People ask me as they visit, can you come to the table? I'm only a guest. We don't care whether you're a guest or whether you've been here once or before. Everybody's welcome to come to the table as long as you have faith in Jesus Christ. You got to believe in your heart, confess with your tongue that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. And so we get this opportunity to worship, the most powerful worship of all, where we acknowledge what he did on the cross, release the Holy Spirit in our lives. So my prayer is that as we take this, that you and I would have an opportunity to be able just to step back and to be grateful. Maybe you need to confess some sin. Maybe you need to work, have him speak to you about some things he's already talking to you about. But this is your opportunity as the worship team leads us and as we serve you. Here's what's going to happen. We go row by row. We hand out, you come up and you get the elements. And after you take the elements back to your seat, we'll serve everybody. And then you'll hold the elements until we're all served and we'll partake together. Simple as that. And you get to worship, sing, pray, sit silent, whatever you so feel led. But I do want to give opportunity for anybody that doesn't know Jesus, if that's okay. So would you bow your heads with me? Is there anybody here today that you're on a journey towards Jesus, but you don't know Jesus? And you'd like to know him. You've known religion, you've known church, but you haven't known Jesus personally. And today, your heart's been stirred, and you want to ask Jesus into your life for the very first time. And if there's anybody here today that would, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, that would want to accept Jesus into your life and begin that new journey, and you've never done that before, would you raise your hand so I can pray with you? Is there anybody? I always want to make an opportunity for somebody who's never received Jesus. Okay, amen. All right, amen. You can look up this way. I'm going to ask Chris Manessa to come on up and help me, and I'm going to ask you to stay seated. You can stand. You can do whatever you want. As Holly leads us, we're going to go section by section, and that you'll go back to your seat, and from there, we'll partake later.